Satam vivakshantam atadvidam hari.
Satam vivakshantam atadvidam hari.
Yat vasya tsa vasya char ritavastitaha.
Yat vasya tsa vasya char ritavastitaha.
Kritanjalim brahmayena kambuna.
Kritanjalim brahmayena kambuna.
Pasvashabalam kripaya kapole.
Pasvashabalam kripaya kapole.
Satam vivakshantam atadvidam hari.
Satam vivakshantam atadvidam hari.
Gyatvasya savasya charitya vastita.
Gyatvasya savasya charitya vastita.
Kritanjalim brahma mayena kambuna.
Kritanjalim brahma mayena kambuna.
Pasvashabalam kripaya kapole.
Pasvashabalam kripaya kapole.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Tam. Dhruv Maharaj.
Dhruv
Maharaj is not a Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vivakshantam.
Vivakshantam.
Wanting to offer prayers describing his qualities.
Wanting to offer prayers to describe his qualities.
Atadvidam.
Atadvidam.
Not experienced at that.
Not experienced at that.
Hari.
Hari.
The personality of Godhead.
The personality of Godhead.
Gyatva.
Gyatva.
Having understood.
Having understood.
Anya.
Asya.
Oh, sorry, Asya. Of Dhruva Maharaj.
Of
Dhruva Maharaj. Savasya.
Savasya.
Of everyone.
Of everyone.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Hridi.
Hridi.
In the heart.
In the heart.
Avastita.
Avastita.
Being situated.
Being situated.
Krita Anjalim.
Krita Anjalim.
Situated with folded hands.
Situated with folded hands.
Brahma Mayena.
Brahma Mayena.
Just consistent with the words of the Vedic hymns.
Just consistent with the words of the Vedic hymns.
Kambuna.
Kambuna.
With his conch shell. Spasha, touched. Balam, the boy. Kripaya, out of causeless mercy. Kapole,
on the forehead.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Although Dhruva Maharaj was a small boy, he wanted to offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in suitable language. But because he was inexperienced, he could not adjust himself immediately. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being situated in everyone's heart, could understand Dhruva Maharaj's awkward position. Out of his causeless mercy, he touched his conch shell to the forehead of Dhruva Maharaj, who stood before him with folded hands. Translation responsibly. Although Dhruva Maharaj was a small boy, he wanted to offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead
in suitable language.
But because he was inexperienced,
he could not adjust himself immediately.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead,
being situated in everyone's heart,
could understand Dhruva Maharaj's awkward position. Out of his causeless mercy,
he touched his conch shell
to the forehead of Dhruva Maharaj,
who stood before him with folded hands.
Purport. Every devotee wants to chant the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Devotees are always interested in hearing about the Lord's transcendental qualities, and they are always eager to glorify these qualities. But sometimes they feel inconvenienced by humbleness. The Personality of Godhead, being situated in everyone's heart, specifically gives a devotee intelligence to describe him. It is therefore understood that when a devotee writes or speaks about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his words are dictated by the Lord from within. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter. To those who constantly engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, from within, dictates what to do next in order to serve Him. When Dhruva Maharaj felt hesitant, not knowing how to describe the Lord for want of sufficient experience, the Lord, out of His causeless mercy, touched His conch shell to Dhruva's forehead, and he was transcendentally inspired. This transcendental inspiration is called Brahma Maya, because when one is thus inspired, the sound he produces exactly corresponds to the sound vibration of the Vedas. This is not the ordinary sound vibration of the material world. Therefore, the sound vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra, although presented in the ordinary alphabet, should not be taken as mundane or material. Om Gyanam Mirandasya Gyananjaya Shalakaya Chakshun Malitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Guru Sukhadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagujatam Sahagna Vagnatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sahagetam Sahadutam Krijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Param Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sja Hey Krishna Kuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gauravi Radhe Vrindavane Shri Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Petitanam Pavnevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Asadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Pradhananda Swami Nityanamane Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pachamane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasajata Adeshatani So today's verse, Prabhupada is describing that the devotee always wants to glorify Krishna and chant his transcendental qualities. So this is the next step after Shravanam, hearing, the chanting, Kirtanam, glorification of the Lord. So therefore, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Satatam Kirtianto Mam, Itantas Cha Dridhavata, Namasyantas Cha Mam Nitya, Namasyantas Cha Mam Bhakcha, Nitya Yukta Upasate. So the devotees are always chanting Krishna's glories, and that's because they've done some very serious hearing, some very serious Shravanam. For ourselves, trying to engage in the process of devotional service, then we're trying to cultivate this eagerness to hear about Krishna. And it's also said that machitita maggita prana bodhiyanta prasparam kasyantas chamam nityam tushantita ramantita. So the devotees, they derive great satisfaction and bliss from enlightening one another and conversing about Krishna. So for us, then, you know, one class per day is, we're feeling like that's a good amount. That's that's a lot of hearing, like a 1 hour, 1.5 hour class. So, but Parikshit Maharaj, who's hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam, he heard about Krishna's pastimes for 7 days and presumably 6 nights. I don't think there was any break in the night time. So Rupa Goswami gives the example of jaundice, that when we're hearing about Krishna or chanting about Krishna, it can seem very bitter when we're in a diseased condition, materially diseased. But by gradually, you know, becoming steady in this process of bhakti yoga and continuing to hear every day, then that material disease is cleansed away, and the sweetness or the pleasure of hearing about Krishna gradually awakens in our heart. And one, you know, test of our hearing, or, you know, Prabhupada explains that the devotee wants to hear everything about Krishna, not just Krishna's dancing with the gopis. Devotees are also, you know, because it's all connected to Krishna, devotees interested in hearing about Krishna's creation of the material world, creation and maintenance and destruction. So this form of Lord Vishnu that has appeared before Dhruva Maharaj, as was explained at the start of the chapter, is the Prishnigarbha incarnation, who is Shiradakshai Vishnu, otherwise known as the Super Soul in everyone's heart and in everyone, in every single atom. So Krishna's, you know, creation of the material world, and Krishna's killing on the battlefield, and Krishna's dancing with the gopis, the devotees interested to hear all of these activities. And so if someone's only interested in hearing Rasa Lila, for example, then their hearing, you know, is not complete. They're just, or their hearing is not authorized. They're not hearing as the acharyas recommend. And so that's known as sahajiism. So Dhruva Maharaj is heard about the Supreme Personality of Godhead from his guru, Narada Muni. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that now that he's seen Krishna, it says in the verse that he wants to offer suitable prayers, but because he was inexperienced, so he's engaged in this mystic yoga meditation for 6 months, a short period compared to other yogis who engage in the process for 60,000 years. So his practice was very intense, and just now the Lord has appeared before him. So therefore he's not experienced in offering prayers, because he's engaged in this meditation, and he's just like just a passive meditation on the Lord within his heart. But now that the Lord's before him, he feels that he wants to offer prayers, but he's just, it's a very beginning kind of relationship with the Lord, that he's just awakened. So he's not quite ready to offer those prayers. And also Prabhupada explains in the purport that although the devotees are always eager to glorify Krishna's qualities, sometimes they feel inconvenienced by humbleness. So the devotee doesn't feel themselves, you know, qualified to glorify Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes this somewhat in his Shikshastakam in verse 6. Any takers? Shikshastakam verse 6. Looking up at the sky. Yes, Priya? Pardon? No, that's number four. Yeah. I think number six is always the one I forget the most. No, that's number seven. Oh, no, that's number five. Okay. You've had your three guesses, sorry. Nainam is the first one. Very good. So, Nainam Galad Ashud Harya, Vadnam Gadgara Rudhayagya, Pulake Nichitam Vapu Kada, Tavanama Grahane Vafishuti. Nice set of verses to memorize. Oh my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love, flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up, and when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your holy name? So we're seeing a little bit of that with Dhruva Maharaj, that he's, he has this desire to offer prayers to Krishna, but out of ecstasy, as we saw in yesterday's verse, he looked up at the Lord in ecstasy, and he was just drinking the Lord with his eyes and kissing the Lord with his lotus feet, still with his eyes, and embracing the Lord with his arms, with his eyes. So just by looking at the Lord, he was doing all of these things, feeling such incredible ecstasy. This is the result of pure Krishna consciousness, that one feels ecstatic symptoms. And then similarly, we can understand that he wasn't able to offer prayers because of feeling choked up in his voice, as Lord Chaitanya describes. So it's a very nice point that Prabhupada makes, that when a devotee, because Krishna gives the devotee intelligence how to what to do, what to say and what to do next to describe him, then those words that the devotee speaks are dictated from the Lord within. So it's practically as if the Lord himself is speaking, but and the devotee is the instrument. So this is a nice meditation in our study of Shastra, when we understand about, for example, Srila Prabhupada's purports and any of the other acharyas' purports and their songs or this literature. Is these devotees are instruments for the Lord's messages. I think Prabhupada himself said that this he did not write this Bhagavad Gita. Krishna told him what to write. So this brings a very, of course, transcendental quality to spiritual literature. It's not ordinary, mundane literature, concocted by someone's, imagination. Although Krishna gives intelligence to those people as well, but he's not giving them intelligence how to glorify him. That intelligence how to glorify Krishna is only given to the devotees, who Krishna is very pleased with. So this is this glorification of Krishna. Gurujan Prabhu explains is the bhakti shakti of the Lord, plus Krishna bestows upon the devotees when he sees their sincere desire to glorify Krishna, and he thus empowers their words. And Gurujan Prabhu also describes that this is a secret of successful preaching. It's not I just speak the philosophy and people become a devotee, but there has to be the sincere desire to glorify Krishna to others, and then Krishna will empower our speaking and our writing. So one devotee, Vallabhabhatta, has stated that Kali Kaler Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan Krishna Shakti Vina Na He Tara Pravatana. So the fundamental religious principle system in the age of Kali is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. And unless one is empowered by Krishna, one cannot propagate the Sankirtan movement. So Srila Prabhupada was, you know, the most empowered devotee. And for all of us, then we can become a little bit empowered by following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. And so that when the impersonalists write about Krishna, which sometimes do, or they write about spiritual life, then their writing is not empowered. When you read impersonal philosophy, it's very dry, and their descriptions about the absolute truth are that, you know, he has no arms and no legs and no features. So they're basically, as Prabhupada says, killing Krishna, killing the form of Krishna. And therefore they're unintelligent. They don't have this intelligence given by Krishna. So actually this is quite a well-known verse where the Lord touches Dhruva Maharaj with his conch shell. So a bit earlier when it was described about the Vishnu form of the Lord, there's a four-handed form of Vishnu, Krishna, and it was described which hand was holding the conch shell. Let's just see if I can find it. I think, was it lower? I thought it was lower left. I just not sure where I saw that. I think it was I think it was the Lord touched Dhruva Maharaj with his lower left arm, with his conch shell. So this is kind of the closest thing. There's a purport in the first canto of Bhagavatam where, you know, some people impersonalists, they have this idea that spiritual knowledge is transmitted by an electrical current. That you know, so this is kind of the closest thing we see in the Bhagavatam, but that's a bogus thing, Prabhupada explains. That actual spiritual knowledge is transferred through hearing, just as Parikshit Maharaj heard Bhagavatam from Shukadev Goswami. And so Prabhupada says that Parikshit Maharaj, he did not feel any shock of electric current from the master, and nor did he become unconscious while receiving knowledge from the master. So, but this touching the conch shell did inspire Dhruva Maharaj to glorify Krishna. And I'll spend a bit of time. Today is actually the auspicious appearance day of several personalities. There's three, but on our temple calendar there's two given. There's Srimati Sita Devi, the consort of Lord Ram, and also Janava Mata, who is the wife of Lord Nityananda, one of the wives of Lord Nityananda. So I had to message one of the devotees and say, please bless me, because this other devotee, they're so expert at giving classes on appearance days of different Vaishnava personalities. So I was like, oh, you know, I don't think I've given a class on Vaishnava personalities before. It's not really, you know, as I was talking about one devotee recently, every devotee has their different moods and strengths, and this devotee was agreeing that, yes, he heard that, you know, Bhaktivedya Purnamaj was describing about Damodar pastime, Damodar Leela. So, like Dvija Purna Maharaj was, he goes very analytical, very in-depth and philosophical. And so one of his students was saying, "Oh Maharaj, can you please just talk some Leela or something?" And this Maharaj was saying, "Look, if you want that, go hear from Radhanath Maharaj." So devotees have their different moods and what they're good at describing. And I think pastimes and personalities are not quite my forte, but I'll try anyway. And also, just when I was reading a little bit about, you know, Sita Devi, wife of Lord Ram, and also Janava Mata, one of the wives of Lord Nityananda, it, you know, became very clear that, you know, these devotees are, Janava Mata, yeah, can call it as a devotee, but Sita Devi is directly Lakshmi goddess, goddess of fortune herself. But they're so exalted in their characteristics and qualities, and it really, it's very good for us, very good for devotees to read about exalted devotees, because then it puts us in our position. It's like, I'm really nothing. I really have none of these good qualities, and you know, because we can, if we don't do this kind of hearing and chanting about the Lord's devotees, then we'll tend to get puffed up, contaminated by material pride. And but this is, it's very good for making us a bit humble and saying, "Wow, these devotees are just amazing." And therefore, we can pray to them for their to develop some of the qualities that they have. I think sometimes I've been guilty of, like, you see on the calendar there's a appearance or disappearance day of one of our acharyas or something like that, and you kind of skip over it, like, "Oh well, yeah, great, I've still got to, I just chant my rounds and it's just another day." But if we kind of take out, you know, 5 minutes, do a little Google search, who's his personality, and you read a few things about them, then it's very, very helpful. And just to, you know, there are special days where we can pray for their mercy and actually, you know, feel that we do need to pray for their mercy and not just neglect their, you know, presence. So I thought I'd speak a bit more about Janava Mata, because she's in our line of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and perhaps some of the devotees, or even myself, maybe not so acquainted with the Gaudiya Vaishnavas as we are with Lord Ram's associates and consort, Sita Devi. And, you know, I'm very unqualified to speak about Ramayana anyway, because I didn't grow up hearing Ramayana and all of that. So I'll talk a bit about Janava Mata. So she's the second wife of Lord Nityananda, and so she there was a king in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, his name was King, where is it? Suryadas. So, but before this, once Lord Chaitanya was with Nityananda Prabhu, and Mahaprabhu urged Nityananda Prabhu to get married, because he said, even though Nityananda Prabhu is like Avadhu, is very beyond the Varnashram and social customs of marriage, etc. But Lord Chaitanya knew that Lord Nityananda's energies had appeared and were waiting to unite with him. And he said to Lord Nityananda, if you confine yourself to the austere life of a renunciate, Then who will deliver the people who are immersed in Maya? How will our work continue in this world? So please return to Gaudadesh and accept the householder way of life. You can continue to preach Bhajan Sankirtan and be the living example of love and devotion for materialistic people. So Nityananda Prabhu went to the home of Suryadas, who had two daughters, Vasudha and Janava. And but at first Suryadas rejected Nityananda Prabhu, and because Nityananda had abandoned his vana, his caste. So Nityananda, he wasn't too fussed, he went back. And but then Suryadas's daughter, Vasudha, because she knew that Nityananda Prabhu wanted to marry her, so she became very upset and lovesick. And so she lost consciousness, and she couldn't be revived. And she went into a coma and passed away. And so when this news was came to his brother, Suryadas's brother, then he requested that Suryadas call Nityananda Prabhu back and to help the situation. So Vasudha had been taken to the Ganges River, and Nityananda appeared, and he brought her back to life because Vasudha smelt the aroma from Lord Nityananda's body, transcendental body, and this brought her back to life. And so they were married, and then when they were having at Suryadas's house, Lord Nityananda and his wife, new wife, his youngest daughter was serving prasadam, Janava. So, and then her sari, or the veil that was covering her head, slipped off, and Nityananda Prabhu saw her and realized that Janava was also his energy. So he said, please arrange for this marriage also. So Suryadas agreed this time, and Satyamata was very happy to see Lord Nityananda Prabhu's new wives. And then Janava Mata, she's most well known for being the leader of the Vaishnavas after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya and practically the whole Panchatattva. Lord Chaitanya disappeared, Lord Nityananda, her husband, left from the world, and Advaita Acharya, Srivas Pandit, they had all disappeared. So almost all of the Panchatattva had disappeared from the world. And so to keep going the Sankirtan movement, Janava Mata took up this role. And she didn't have any children, but she looked after her elder sister's children because she passed away. This was interesting actually. The son that she was looking after was, Vasudha had two children, she had like eight sons, but seven of them passed away. So she had one son left and one daughter. So the son was Virachandra. So I think this is where Maharaj got the name. The son of Janava Mata. And it's described that Virachandra was her special favorite. And So Janava Mata initiated her son Virabhadra or Virachandra. And so it's described that the devotees, the exalted devotees after Lord Chaitanya's time, such as Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya and Shyamananda Prabhu, they accepted her as the most prominent Vaishnava in Bengal. And she was the year after that, Mahaprabhu left the world. There was a great festival to celebrate his disappearance, the first Gaurapanim practically, which was called the festival of Keturi. And Janava Mata was honored there. And she took charge of all of the festivities in terms of the deity worship and kirtan, everything. So Janava Mata, she was very instrumental in, giving solidarity to the Vaishnava community. She travelled to Vrindavan, so that she wanted the devotees in Vrindavan and the devotees in Bengal to have close ties. So she travelled several times to Vrindavan for that purpose. And Janava Mata herself, she's the wife of Lord Balaram, because Lord Nityananda is Lord Balaram. So Lord Balaram had two wives, Revati and what's that, his other wife, Revati and somewhere at the start. So the two wives of Lord Nityananda are expansions of the two wives of Lord Balaram. And therefore when Janava Mata was going to pass away, she entered into the deity of Krishna. I'll just find the details there. So, the Gopinath deity. Thank you. She's also known as an expansion of Ananga Manjari. So this is possible that a devotee in Mahaprabhu's pastimes can be, expanded from two different personalities, Ananga Manjari and the wife of Lord Balaram. She merged into the deity of Gopinath. Also we can understand from the appearance days of Janava Mata and Sita Devi, one devotee was kindly explaining to me that for example, Sita Devi, she gave inspiration to Valmiki Muni to write the Ramayana, because Valmiki Muni was thinking, like, how did this happen that I got this mercy to compose the Ramayana? And then he realized that because he had given shelter to Sita Devi when Lord Ram had again banished her, and then Sita took shelter in Valmiki's ashram in the forest. And because of this, he got the mercy of Lord Ram to write Ramayana. And the inspiration came from Sita Devi. And similarly, Janava Mata gave inspiration to Narottam Das Thakur to write all of his Vaishnava songs. So in this way, the energy of Krishna, the female energy of Krishna, gives inspiration to us in our devotional service. Prabhupada writes later in the fourth canto that that women will give inspiration to men to look after their household affairs, as long as the men, don't get attracted for material reasons, then they become a very good help for prosecuting their household duties. So I'll leave it there. There's just a few broken points about Janavamata. And see if there's anyone has any comments or questions about different topics. I agree with was first. Yeah?
Why devotees can only get the mercy from the Lord to glorify the Lord? Why not the other people?
Why they can't get mercy from other people?
No, so my question is, the people, so I heard in the class that you said that Krishna gives intelligence to everyone, but not the intelligence to the devotees that he gives to devotees, that you can glorify me, but not to everyone. Why it's like that?
Well, okay, Hargrave's question is, I was saying that Krishna gives intelligence to everyone, but he only gives intelligence how to describe him to the devotees. So why is it like that? Is that your, that's right? Yeah. So because Krishna reciprocates with everyone according to their desires. So to, if someone, you know, non-devotees don't desire to glorify Krishna. And even ourselves practicing devotees, we're developing that desire to glorify Krishna through by regularly hearing, then we hear and hear about Krishna, then we're able to do kirtan or glorify Krishna. So, you know, impersonalists or materialists, they don't want to glorify Krishna, so Krishna just gives him intelligence in other areas, how to be successful materially, or how to merge into Brahman, how to be practice severe austerities. Yeah. Is that alright? Yeah. Did you have a question, Krishna?
Yeah, I have two.
Okay. I'll see how I go with the first one.
How to develop the quality of sharing?
Develop the quality of hearing?
Sharing.
Oh, sharing? Sharing. Sharing anything, or?
No,
okay, just sharing. The quality of sharing, I guess, is a... it's a feature of compassion. When we, you know, we're sharing means we're giving something to someone else, or sharing something with someone else, something that we have. So when we see that, we have to see that people would be really benefited by sharing Krishna consciousness with them. Maybe we wouldn't share Krishna consciousness if we're, you know, we have to see the value of it ourselves. Like we're experiencing transcendental spiritual happiness, and we're experiencing, you know, a nice way of life to practice devotional service. And but we also have to see the other side, that people who don't have Krishna consciousness, it's a life of struggle, essentially. It's struggling to get a little bit of happiness that's not really there. It's just like a, you know, mirage in a desert. It's not, appears to be there, but it's not actually there. And people are chasing after it. So it's a great struggle. So when we develop that vision that, you know, people are actually struggling, and here we have this Krishna consciousness, so naturally we will want to share that. I'll just see if anyone else has a question before I get to your second question. Anyone else has a comment or question? Yes,
Martin. I would just like a comment.
Yeah.
Thank you for the nice class, and especially how to observe a particular Vaishnava appearance days or the calendar.
Yeah.
It's really
nice. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Alright, second question. Did you have one?
share and we feel sad, how to overcome that?
Oh, if someone doesn't share and feels sad. Well, you do a lot of sharing, so I don't think this can be referring to you, right? Because you do so much book distribution and giving people the holy name. So you're doing a lot of sharing. But yeah, sometimes we might have that dilemma that we know we're hearing a lot that we should preach, and but maybe we're not doing it so much. It's a natural thing. It's a natural progression that, you know, that compassion will naturally develop. But we want to give some knowledge to others, and it's really in our Krishna consciousness. It's very essential. It's like helps us to mature our Krishna consciousness by giving it to others, because it's practically the end of, or the, it's the conclusion of your Krishna conscious practice, that you're going to, like, why do we do so much hearing? Why do you do so much chanting and purification? It's not just for ourselves, it's so that we can become instruments for Krishna to spread Krishna consciousness to others. So this whole practice is to become instruments for Krishna, not just holding it for ourselves. So that's a natural thing. And initially, we just, by practice, by, you know, kind of like by force, we engage in preaching and do book distribution. And so we're just trying to be instruments for the devotees who actually have some compassion, like Prabhupada. So, you know, there's no loss. We just keep on going with the process, and that sharing, that compassion gradually awakens. And, Prasadam distribution. Any kind of preaching activity help to purify us. So I'll stop there, and thank you very much. Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Nitai Gaura Premanande.